everybody. Todd Stearns here from the Fox News corner of the world, and welcome to my podcast. And I hope that you guys have had a great week. Welcome back, everyone. We relaunched the podcast very recently, and it's nice to have everybody back on board with us. And so glad that you have decided to take the next little while to hang out and talk about some of the crazy stories that we've been covering here at Fox News. Also, wanted to remind you that we have a brand new shipment of my t-shirts, the official Todd Stearns t-shirt. It says on the back of the shirt, it says, "I'm a gun-toting, Bible-clinging, patriotic American." And from what we understand, these shirts, scientifically proven apparently, at least that's the rumor, but apparently the shirts repel liberals. If you wear one of these shirts, a liberal will actually run away from you. So that would come in very handy, for example, in a place like my neighborhood where I live in Brooklyn, New York. So if you want to get one of these shirts, just go to toddstearns.com and click on the little store logo, and they'll get you fixed up with one of our awesome t-shirts. And you can also check out our books and all that other kind of stuff there. So anyway, that is that. The big story of the day that we've been focusing on is the case of Joe Kennedy. Now, many of you may have heard about Joe Kennedy, a football coach out in Washington State at Bremerton High School. I want to give you guys the background of this story before I tell you the update. Joe Kennedy was a longtime assistant football coach there, and he also was the head coach of the junior high school football team there, the Knights. That's what they called their teams there, the Knights of Bremerton. Coach Joe was a pretty popular guy. The kids loved him, so did the moms and dads, and just an all-around great guy. Coach Kennedy was in the Marine Corps, retired as a gunnery sergeant, so you know he's a good man. Also a very devout Christian man. And back in 2000, I believe it was 2007 or 2008, Coach Kennedy watched this amazing movie from the Kendrick brothers called Facing the Giants. I have to imagine every church youth group in America has seen this movie, and it's a faith-based film about a high school football program, and it's a really powerful movie. I would encourage you to check it out. It's on iTunes, or sometimes it's on Netflix. So be sure to check out that movie, especially if you have a kid who is involved in sports or athletics. This is the movie that you want the child to see. So anyway, he watched this movie, and one of the takeaways from the movie was this idea that you should thank God for your circumstances in life. No matter if you win the game or lose the game, you should thank God. So Coach Joe started a tradition. After every football game, after the kids had shaken hands with the opposing team and folks were heading to the locker rooms and going to their cars, and the band boosters were shutting down the concession stands, Coach Joe would walk quietly to the 50-yard line, and he would drop to a knee, and he would pray a 30-second prayer. And he would ask God for his blessings. He would thank God for keeping everyone safe. If someone got hurt, he would ask that the Lord would look over that person. It was again about a 30-second prayer, and he would pray silently or quietly to himself, and then he would get up and go about his business. Well, eventually, some of the players noticed what the coach was doing, and over a period of time, some of the football players asked if they could participate in the prayer at the 50-yard line. And the coach said, "Look, it's a free country. You can do whatever you want to do. If you want to join me, that's great. If you don't, that's fine too." So I want you to understand the context of this prayer. He wasn't holding a Billy Graham crusade out on the 50-yard line. He wasn't proselytizing. He wasn't like street preaching. He was just praying. And so by the time 2015 rolled around, most of the team would gather at the 50-yard line for this prayer. It became a part of who the Knights, the Bremerton Knights, were. And not a single person had a problem with it until 2015. And after one game, the coach received a letter from the school district. And in this letter, it said they were launching an investigation regarding religious practices and whether or not the coach and his prayer violated school district policy. And so if you guys want to read all the backstory, you can do that at toddstearns.com. We have the story posted there. But the coach said that he wasn't doing anything wrong. He wasn't forcing anyone to participate. Students were free to join or not join. It really didn't matter. So finally, the school district started to play hardball. And they said, hey, look, you can't pray in public anymore. They said, if you want to pray, you've got to go and hide somewhere. You are not allowed to have a single student see you pray. They were trying to shove the coach literally into a closet. And so the coach said, well, no, I'm not going to do that. I have a constitutional right, freedom of religion. I'm not doing anything wrong. I'm not doing anything untoward or anything that might be offensive. I'm just going out and I'm praying. So they told the coach, Coach, if you go out there on that 50-yard line and you pray, you're going to be suspended. And that's exactly what happened. The following week, the coach went out there and he dropped to a knee and he prayed and he got himself in trouble. But it wasn't so much that they said, you're not allowed to pray. The school district actually told this coach that he wasn't allowed to bow his head. He wasn't allowed to kneel. He wasn't allowed to do anything that might possibly give people the perception that he is a Christian man and that he is praying. I mean, this is pretty draconian, folks. And it was just really a shocking story back in 2015 when I first told you the story of Coach Joe Kennedy. So let's fast forward to just a little while ago when we received some exclusive breaking news. Because after Coach was suspended, he was placed on paid leave. He was told he could not hang out with the football team anymore. He wasn't allowed to have anything to do with the football program. He was given an end-of-the-year review, and the review was very bad. It was very bad. Now, up until that point, all of his reviews, and we actually have copies of those reviews, I've been able to read them myself. All of those reviews were stellar. He was praised in every single one of those reviews, except for the one in 2015. And the recommendation was not to rehire Coach Joe. And so they let him go. So Coach Joe did a very wise thing. He contacted First Liberty Institute, one of the best religious liberty law firms in the country. And Christians that are listening to this podcast, if you find yourself in a predicament, those are the folks that need to be the first people you contact. First Liberty Institute. So he contacted First Liberty, and they told him, hey, you've got a case here. So they filed a complaint with the EEOC, and the EEOC said, hey, look, you guys, there's enough evidence here for you guys to sue the school district. But they didn't want to sue. They wanted to work this thing out. So First Liberty attorney Michael Berry, he reached out to the school board. And every time he reached out to the school board, their attorney said, we're not interested in talking to you people. We don't want to talk to you guys. Go away. So they did. And now the coach has filed a federal lawsuit against the school district, alleging that he was discriminated against because of his religious beliefs. Now, it seems to me, based on all the evidence, that the coach not only has a great case, but he has a winnable case, and he could probably come away with millions of dollars, hundreds of thousands of dollars in damages. But that's not going to happen. And let me explain why. And I think this really speaks to the integrity and the character of Joe Kennedy. He doesn't want a penny. Not a single penny. All Coach Joe wants is his job back. That's what he wants. He wants to go back on the sidelines. Says a lot about Coach Joe, doesn't it? Now, there's another interesting component to this story, and I'm fascinated by this. So, according to the lawsuit, there were other coaches on the sidelines that were engaged in some sort of religious expression. One in particular was a coach who happens to be Buddhist. And so, according to the lawsuit, this Buddhist coach would offer a chant at the football game. And nobody said a thing about it. Not a single thing. And even when he was coming under fire and was told that, coach, you can't pray in public, they never said anything about the Buddhist coach. So I reached out to the Bremerton School District, and they haven't returned my telephone calls. And I really wish they would, because here's the question I'd like answered. If it's okay for a Buddhist coach to pray at a football game, why can't a Christian coach pray? Sounds like a double standard to me, folks. So here we have it. The lawsuit's been filed. We haven't heard anything from the school district just yet. But I had a chance to talk to Coach Kennedy, and I asked him, I said, do you have any regrets here? And he said, you know something? I don't have any regrets. He says he would not do anything differently. You know, the coach told me that he always teaches the young men on the football team to stand up for what they believe in, even if it's not popular. Wouldn't you want your child to be coached by someone like Joe Kennedy? I mean, here's a man who is leading by example, and he's demonstrating to these young men, these young, impressionable young men, that sometimes there's a price to pay for doing the right thing. But folks, I got to tell you something. Good eventually triumphs over evil. And I suspect there are a lot of folks around Bremerton, Washington, who would rather stand alongside a Christian Marine Corps veteran football coach than they would a bunch of godless school district bureaucrats. That's my 2 cents worth on that. We posted this story on our Facebook fan page, and many of you, hundreds of you, have opinions about this. I think we had the most opinionated audience in all of the talk world, and we also have the most pithy, because you guys are awesome. Maureen writes this: last year was our first year in a public school. My daughter was a freshman in high school. After 9 years in a private Christian school, it was a culture shock for both of us. Maureen goes on to write that she's frustrated with how little communication she gets from the school, which is very different from the private schools where they actually welcomed the involvement of parents. There you go. And Carol writes, trust me, I did it the opposite way. She went from a failing public school to a Catholic private school, and what she lacked in every subject was astounding. Well, there you go. There's something to be said for parents who send their kids to private school or homeschool, and I know in some cases that's just not a possibility. That's not an opportunity that you have. But I got to tell you something, folks. If you have the opportunity, I would seriously consider looking elsewhere to educate your kids than a public school. All right. Another couple of great stories. This is one I got so encouraged by this story. It's about a guy named Maury Bogart of Granville, Michigan. So get this. Maury Bogart has been knitting hats for the homeless for more than 15 years. And the folks over at television station WGN out of Chicago, they tracked Maury down, and he told them that after hat number 8,000, he stopped counting. That's a lot of hats. But what's really remarkable about Maury Bogart is the guy's 91 years old, and he lives in hospice care. He is actually bedridden. And according to the TV report, Maury has skin cancer and he has a mass on his kidney. He's not doing very good. But every day, old Maury sits up in that bed and he picks up the knitting needles and stitch by stitch, he makes a hat. It takes him about 2 days to make a hat. Kind of like the Energizer Bunny of the yarn world. You know, he keeps on knitting and knitting and knitting. What's really fascinating about this story is that Maury sends all of these hats to homeless shelters. And I want you guys to think about this for a minute, because it gets really cold up in that part of the country. And you guys, especially around Grand Rapids, you guys know what I'm talking about. But imagine this. Come wintertime, there's going to be a stranger somewhere, a fellow that's down on his luck, and he's going to be able to stay warm thanks to what Maury did in that nursing home. I mean, what a lesson for all of us. I mean, here's a man who is spending his final days on earth doing good deeds for strangers. If that story doesn't warm your heart and your head, I don't know what will. Maury Bogart of Grandville, Michigan. You know, if you're looking to do something nice, it might be nice to send old Maury some yarn, maybe some new knitting needles. Give him a helping hand there. Maury Bogart of Grandville, Michigan. Now, finally, our last item, and I'm just excited about this story. So it's about an event happening in my hometown of Memphis, Tennessee. So I want you guys to play along here. But this was from one of my commentaries from earlier in the week, and I hope you guys pick up on the theme here. So this goes out to all of you folks who might be lonesome tonight. But I know you may be lonely. But don't get all shook up, because there's a brand new day on the horizon. There is. So just stop those blue eyes of crying, lace up your blue suede shoes, and catch the next Greyhound bus to Memphis. Sure, you can have fun in Acapulco and Viva Las Vegas and all that jazz. But Lord Almighty, folks, the temperatures are rising at Graceland. That's because it's Elvis Week. All sorts of stuff going on to honor the king of rock and roll. They're expecting quite a crowd along Elvis Presley Boulevard, too. Now, the main event is something called the Ultimate Elvis Tribute Artist. They don't like you to use the word impersonator, Elvis impersonator. You see, I made that mistake once. A hound dog growled at me, and a guy wearing a jumpsuit told me, don't be cruel. So we're going to have a lot of fun in my hometown this week. Elvis may have left the building, but his fans are still hanging around. And there's about to be a whole lot of shaking going on in Memphis. Thank you very much. There you go, folks. Gotta have a little bit of fun, okay? You really don't want to know how long it took me to come up with that. So there you go. Hey, look, folks, ToddStearns.com. Don't forget, grab yourself a gun-toting, Bible-clinging, patriotic American T-shirt, and there's lots of other cool stuff as well. Be sure to check us out, all of our social networking platforms, especially YouTube, YouTube/ToddStearns. And we have a lot of fun there, and I want to hear from you, so send us a message. Again, thanks a lot for listening. And one more thing, folks, invite your neighbors to follow our podcast. Have a good one.